For WMRA News, I'm Bob Levicky. A Jewish University of Virginia student from Israel says he's been the victim of anti-Semitism on grounds, and he's filed suit against the school in federal court. The Wildlife Center in Waynesboro takes advantage of Thursday's World Turtle Day to find homes for a special cohort of rescued patients. And a candidate for the Republican nomination to challenge Democratic Senator Tim Kaine doubles down on his insults of the Stanton News leader. And that's among the topics tackled by Jeff Shapiro in our Friday Politics Chat. This is the WMRA Daily for Friday, May 24th. A Jewish University of Virginia student from Israel has filed suit against the school in federal court, claiming he has been the victim of anti-Semitism on grounds, and that further, UVA leaders knew and did nothing to stop it. The Daily Progress reports that the wide-ranging suit argues UVA President Jim Ryan and Rector Robert Hardy allowed, quote, virulent anti-Semitism to run rampant and accuses students of being, quote, foot soldiers for Hamas. The plaintiff, first-year student Matan Goldstein, is suing Ryan, Hardy, and two pro-Palestine organizations on grounds. Both of those organizations include Jewish members. Yesterday, May 23rd, is observed as World Turtle Day by enthusiasts, and the Wildlife Center of Virginia is celebrating by finding homes for a special cohort of rescued patients. WMRA's Randy B. Hagee reports.
The Wildlife Center typically admits turtles that have been hit by cars or attacked by dogs. They care for them, treat their injuries, and release them back into the wild. But over the past year, they've taken in a group of turtles that the Department of Wildlife Resources rescued from illegal wildlife traffickers.
A lot of them come from situations where they were, you know, overcrowded and the tubs or whatever sort of enclosure they were in was pretty dirty.
Connor Gillespie is the center's outreach supervisor.
We would love to get these turtles back out in the wild where they belong, but traffickers in most cases are not willing to share where they found the turtles. And turtles have a very small home range out in the wild. They just don't survive relocation very well.
Four rescued painted turtles have gone to live at the Tennessee Aquarium, and a couple of yellow-bellied sliders have taken up residence at the Rockfish Wildlife Sanctuary. But there are still 21 turtles looking for a permanent home at a zoo, aquarium, or other wildlife organization. Gillespie explained that when a wild turtle is captured, it's detrimental to the species as well as the individual.
Turtles have a really slow maturation. It takes them a long time to get to reproductive age and then breed. So anytime a turtle is taken out of the environment like that, it can really impact local populations.
The center advises that if you see a turtle out in the wild that is safe and unharmed, appreciate it from a respectful distance. Take photos, but don't share its location online. And if you find a turtle in the road, carry it across in the direction it's heading. It might just be a female looking for a nesting site for the next generation. For WMRA News, I'm Randy B. Hagee.
You can see photos of the rescued turtles at WMRA.org and on the app. Accessory dwelling units, sometimes called mother-in-law suites, allow family, friends, or tenants to move into an already occupied lot. They're smaller, cheaper, and some people see them as a fix to Virginia's housing shortage, but balancing local and state authority on the issue is the first hurdle in the process. Virginia Public Radio's Brad Kuttner reports.
Dylan Nicely is Rockingham County's planner. He came to Richmond to explain how his locality expanded access to accessory dwelling units, or ADUs, in 2014. ADUs are by right in Rockingham County, meaning they're allowed without a permit in most residential zoned areas, so long as they meet state codes. They've opened housing for farm workers in rural parts of the county, for students and employees near Harrisonburg, and short-term rental space near the ski slopes of Massanutten. But Nicely was among those who were less keen on the 2024 legislative effort, which aimed to create statewide ADU regulations.
Maintaining local discretion regarding ADUs would best allow localities across the state to continue to meet the specific needs and top priorities of their given communities.
Republican Delegate Kerry Coyner is chair of the Virginia Housing Commission's ADU subcommittee. Thanks to feedback from folks like Nicely, she's envisioning a bill that will require localities to at least make rules to address ADUs.
I think the level of involvement at the state is when local governments don't permit folks to do anything.
Senator Saddam Saleem was author of the failed ADU bill this past session. He said his Northern Virginia district has unique housing demands and ADUs could be part of that fix. After Monday's meeting, he's realizing it's going to take time, but he's hopeful.
If we can't mandate or put in the rules ourselves, we have to at least essentially steer localities into making this an agenda item.
The next ADU subcommittee meeting happens in July. In Richmond, I'm Brad Kuttner.
Hung Cao, one of five candidates seeking the Republican nomination for U.S. Senate to oppose the Democratic incumbent, Senator Tim Kaine, in the fall, doubled down on his remarks, referring to the Stanton News Leader as a, quote, podunk local newspaper. Cardinal News reports he made the comments Wednesday during a virtual town hall meeting hosted by the Fauquier County Republican Party. Cao said the newspaper is run by left-wing hacks. The Loudoun County resident also implied that he does not consider it worth his time to travel to Southwest Virginia to debate his primary opponents for the statewide office. Well, that just happens to be where we start in our weekly politics chat with Jeff Shapiro, political columnist at the Richmond Times-Dispatch, talking about the week in politics and state government with Virginia Public Radio's Michael Pope.
Heading out into the Shenandoah Valley, where we've got the newspaper, the Stanton News Leader was looking into campaign finance documents from Republican Senate candidate Hung Cao, which caused the candidate to call the newspaper a podunk local newspaper. Jeff Shapiro, what has been the reaction to that?
Oh, there are a lot of upset people in Virginia's verdant valley. The idea Stanton is podunk couldn't be further from the truth. I suspect that this is being viewed largely as another example of Nova arrogance directed at Rova, the rest of Virginia. In this case, it might be particularly perilous. Mr. Cao, of course, is a Republican. He's at this point favored for the Senate nomination to take on Tim Kaine. But Republicans fancy themselves, shall we say, friends of the countryside. Assuming a Cao nomination, one, I think, can conclude that Tim Kaine, the Democrat seeking a third term in the Senate, will remind people of this, shall we say, excited utterance that suggests a certain level of contempt for rural Virginia. In the end, I don't know that it would make a big difference. The countryside tends to be reflexively Republican.
And then heading up to Northern Virginia, where we've got the 7th congressional district vacated by incumbent Congresswoman Abigail Spanberger, who's running for governor. So it opens up the seat. And leading the handful of Democrats in that primary is Eugene Venman. Jeff Shapiro, can he use his celebrity status to win this Democratic primary?
Venman certainly is attempting to use his celebrity status to win this nomination. Of course, a figure in one of the many Trump scandals, this one involving Ukraine. Venman, with a long career in the military and roots in Prince William County, by the way. He's lived there for some years. His wife is a school teacher. They have two children. The older of the two has matriculated to a Virginia university, but there seems to be sort of this impression that he's parachuting into this race. One of the things that's been hurled at the candidate is the use of a Confederate-era state symbol, that somehow this suggests a certain insensitivity, ignorance, and unfamiliarity with modern Virginia.
And then finally, the editorial board of the Wall Street Journal seems to think Youngkin might be a great vice president. Jeff Shapiro, what do you make of this Youngkin boomlet?
Well, you know, the governor indicated he wouldn't be running for president in 2024. He didn't say he wouldn't be running for vice president. The Wall Street Journal, very much the guardian and conscience of the Wall Street set and the donor class and the high dollar political consultants, think that Youngkin would bring a certain business acumen to the ticket. Also, having won a swing state, that he would have a certain special appeal, maybe to those Nikki Haley voters who are maybe going to be gravitating to Trump following the South Carolina governor's decision to endorse Trump. But I think one needs to keep in mind that Donald Trump and Glenn Youngkin are not necessarily the best of buddies. Remember how Trump, in a somewhat racially laden way, put down Youngkin a year after his narrow win for governor by suggesting Youngkin wouldn't have won were it not for Trump's two big endorsements.
All right. That's all the time that we've got for this week. My name is Michael Pope, and we've been joined by Jeff Shapiro of the Richmond Times-Dispatch. Talk to you next week.
Have a good weekend.
Schools across Virginia may soon become hubs for social services. Michael has the details.
The idea that a community school might also be a place where social services are offered was at the heart of a bill offered by Delegate Sam Rasul, a Democrat from Roanoke. A previous law established the concept, and now Rasul says his bill has funding to make it a reality.
What we wanted to do was to ensure that there are services that are efficiently delivered to our students who are in need. And so conceptually imagine campuses of the future where we actually have a doctor's office, a dental chair, mental health services that are offered on the same campus, not only being more efficient, but more accessible to our students.
Some people oppose the idea that schools should be hubs for social services. Here's Todd Gackey at the Family Foundation.
Is it going to be used to broaden the mission and the scope of schools that could put in place services that may be given without parental consent or that may undermine parental consent? And is it something that we want to be doing at a time when we really need to be zeroing in on academic achievements?
The bill, which will become a law this summer, requires the creation of a new Office of Community Schools to start making services available at schools across Virginia. I'm Michael Pope.
The National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, NOAA, predicts up to 25 named storms this year. That is the most the agency has ever forecast ahead of the season. Federal officials recently visited Norfolk on a hurricane awareness tour and pleaded with Virginians to prepare for storms ahead of time. A NOAA spokesperson called this year's outlook, quote, extraordinary. Ocean temperatures are warmer than ever, and a weather pattern called La Niña is also on the way, which can fuel storms. Hurricane season starts June 1st, that's a week from tomorrow, and lasts through November. As we reported yesterday, the Mountain Valley Pipeline won't be ready to begin operations this week. Curtis Tate with West Virginia Public Broadcasting has more.
Equitrans Midstream had asked the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission to approve its application to enter service on Thursday. In a letter to FERC Tuesday, the company said it expects the pipeline to be ready to operate in early June. Equitrans said it has to complete fewer than 10 welds and pressure test them with water. It said hydrostatic testing had been completed on 99% of the pipeline. Equitrans said it was not premature, as some critics had described, to approve the pipeline for service. The project has drawn heavy opposition since its beginning in 2018. The May 1st failure of a water pressure test at Bent Mountain, Virginia, amplified the concerns of those living near it.
Curtis Tate reporting. In the 1950s and 60s, thousands of Virginians were denied an education when some schools were closed to avoid integration. Now, 42 of their descendants are each set to receive a $10,000 state scholarship. The awards are part of the Brown versus Board of Education scholarship program's recent expansion. And Megan Pauley with VPM News has more.
This year, descendants were eligible for the scholarship for the first time since its inception, two decades ago. Previously, only those who were locked out of schools could receive a scholarship. Senator Angela Williams-Graves, the program's chairperson, said it made sense to award everyone who applied this year with a scholarship, especially because of new state and federal appropriations.
Obviously, you know, we can't provide full rides for everybody that's a descendant. That's a given. However, we can do our very best to be as helpful with the funds that we have and help as many people as we can with what we're working with.
The scholarship program is getting $2 million from the newly approved two-year state budget and a $500,000 federal grant. That will bring the fund's balance to about $3 million after this year's awards are made. The scholarship will begin accepting another round of applicants starting next January.
Megan Pauley reporting. Finally today, the Dolly, the ship that crashed into the Francis Scott Key Bridge in Baltimore in March, will be repaired in Norfolk later this year. WAVY reports that Maryland Governor Westmore said the ship will be in Baltimore for 4 to 6 weeks while crews remove pieces of the bridge, damaged containers, and parts of the roadway still on board. They will also make a number of temporary fixes, and once that's all done, the ship will be sent to Norfolk for repairs. For for WMRA News, I'm Bob Levicki. Thanks for listening, and I hope you enjoy your Friday.